Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning as we are here in the house of the Lord for the word of the Lord again. And we know, Lord, that you have a plan for every one of us to be more and more like you. And we pray, Lord, that you will open our eyes, anoint our eyes with eyes of this morning, that we may see. And anoint our ears that we may hear. And give us a willing heart, Lord, not to be hearers only, but doers of your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glorify yourself, Lord, in the message this morning, in the message of the Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Say it again, amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord the praise. Hallelujah. Come on, you can do better than that. Give the Lord a big hand clap. Thank you, Jesus. I like people to be excited about the word of the Lord. Now, this message is probably going to be one of the most important messages that you've heard me preach, you know, since we started, this church. But I'm going to start here. Before I preach this message, I'm going to give a little background or preamble. I'm going to tell you what the message is about in a minute, but I'm going to start here in Exodus 15 and 26. I referred to this verse, the Faith Lab, on Friday night, and I want to bring out a viewpoint that relates to this message this morning. The Lord said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. So I want you to notice four things in here that he requires, you know, you to do. The first thing is diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. And the next thing is, if you will do that which is right in his sight. And then if you will give ear to his commandments. And if you will keep all his statutes. So everything that he tells us we must do. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, it's too quiet in here this morning. Amen?
Amen.
You must do everything that the Lord tells us. Everything. You can't pick and choose the ones that you want. Now, if you do all these things, then he said, I will not put any of these diseases upon you that I brought upon the Egyptians. So I know we quote that verse all the time, but you usually leave out all the other things that he asks us to do. Well, if you want to live that perfect life, if you want to have that divine health and so forth in your life, you know, and you can, you know, here are the things that you must do. You must diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, as it will come in this message this morning. And you must do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. And then you must give ear to his commandments and all his statutes and everything that he's going to tell us this morning. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I'm going to ask you something here, which I don't normally do, but I'm going to ask, you know, what was the message that I preached 2 weeks ago? What did I preach 2 weeks ago? Anybody? Anybody remember? See, you can't even remember. See, what I preached 2 weeks ago. Now, how are you going to do... Okay. Somebody says providence, grace, and mercy. You know, how are you going to do the things in the word of the Lord if you don't even remember? You know, it's a hard job, but it's a great job to be a pastor. Because you have the responsibility of bringing the word of God.
Amen.
See, and that's not a light thing. But it's the best job in the world. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I'm not paid to do it, but it is the best job in the world.
Amen.
You know, and I want to thank every one of you that has taken given me the opportunity. See, because you chose to be here.
Amen.
Well, maybe some of you kids didn't choose. Maybe your parents forced you here. But those of you that chose to be here, it's a great honor. Praise the name of the Lord.
Yes.
See, but I want to take this thing a step further. See, I don't want anybody just coming here and call me pastor if you don't do what I preach in the word of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Because I have to give account for your souls. See, I must preach the word, and the Bible says, give honor to them that labor in the word and so forth like that. And I tell you, we labor in the word of God all the time, all week long, trying to get, you know, find out what the Lord wants for the people of God. See, and I don't have any problems preaching the word at any time. You know, I can open any scripture in the Bible and preach, and I've got messages lined up. But the hardest part is, what is it that God wants for each Sunday?
Amen.
Not just some message. You know? And, you know, it takes time to labor in the message. But what good is it if you don't follow the message of the Lord? Now, you've never heard me say that before I preach a message before. But that's because this message is so vital this morning. I want everybody to pay attention. I want everybody to take notes. See, and from time to time, I may ask you, what is it that I preach? I may come back next week and ask you, what is it that I preach today? You know, because I don't want anybody just to come and say, oh, that's a wonderful message. And then you go away, and then you go and don't even remember 2 days later. And what good is it then? You know, so hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord. And do that which is right in His sight. And give ear to His commandments. And keep all His statutes. And this morning, the message, a more excellent way. That's the message this morning. A more excellent way. And like I told you, this has got to be perhaps one of the most important messages, you know, that I have preached as far as the Lord showed it to me. And I put it right up there with the mercy of the Lord every time I preach on that, you know. But I'm going to start here in Matthew chapter 5, and you will understand this message, you know, by the time we get through here. Matthew chapter 5. Now, this is a more excellent way. And that's the message this morning. And there's going to be some things that the Lord wants me to go over this morning. It's amazing, this consecration weekend, that the Lord will bring this message in this weekend, because this is a message that will make us go closer to the character of the Christ. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
That's the whole purpose. All these messages and so forth that we preach is to get you closer to the image of Jesus Christ. That's the whole purpose. Praise God. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21 is where I'm going to start this morning. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Now, well, that's what they said. That's what Moses, the law of Moses, preached. See? And so Jesus is speaking here. He said, well, you know, you heard them say this in old time, but I'm going to show you a more excellent way, Jesus said. But I say unto you, that whosoever, now that's whosoever in here this morning, is angry with his brother without a cause, shall be in danger of the judgment. That's the judgment of God. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, which means you're worthless, you're going to be in danger of the council. Well, you don't want to go up against the council. That's the, you know, that's the holy watchers, the decree of the holy ones. You don't want to do that because, you know, that's a dangerous place to be. One time he said to Nebuchadnezzar, by the decree of the holy watchers, you know, you're out of there. You know, so you don't want to do that. Now, but he say again unto you, but whosoever shall say to his brother, thou fool. Now take notice of that in here this morning. Shall be in danger of hellfire. Are you still with me here this morning? I know it got real silent, but that's okay. You know, if you will say to your brother or sister or anybody for that matter, thou fool, call them a fool, Jesus said, you will be in danger of hellfire. Now that is serious business. You know, because, you know, if you go around calling people fool and cursing them out and doing all of these things and so forth like that, you know, maybe it's your spouse that you curse. Maybe it's somebody else or whatever. You will be in danger of hellfire. You know, so it's my responsibility to bring this word to you today as the Lord gives it, you know. And then he said, therefore I say unto you, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, like you did this morning, the offering and so forth. See, when you do that, and you remember that your brother has ought against you, Now, that's not you having aught against your brother. That's your brother having aught against you. So that's not even, you know, you can say, well, you know, as long as he lies within me, I live peaceably with all men. That's okay. But he's going beyond that. He's saying, look, you're doing everything that you can, but you remember that somebody still has a problem with you. That he see that Jesus is saying, it's not good enough for you to just bring your gift. He said, leave your gift on the side. Amen? Amen, somebody? Leave your gift there at the altar and go thy way, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come back and give your gift. That's how great importance Jesus puts on the relationship that you have with your brother. Now, brother here doesn't mean just brother. He's just using that language. That means anybody. See? That means anybody. That means your sister, it means your spouse, it means your siblings, it means your friends, it means anybody, your co-workers, you know, your colleagues, your fellow students, anybody. See, that's what it means in here this morning. But especially your brother in Christ. Especially in the household of faith, sir. You know. So you want to drill down with that brotherhood this morning. So he said, look, when you bring your gift and it's your standing, you remember that somebody has a problem against you. You know? Because sometimes the Holy Ghost will bring that to your mind. You know, when he does that, don't just shrug it off. You know, say, hold on to your gift. Go settle that and then come back and give your gift. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Now, Jesus is not one of those, one of those preachers that will do anything to get your money from you. You know? He wants your heart to be right.
Amen.
Praise ye the name of the Lord. And we want your heart to be right before the Lord. You know, so if you have that situation, if you are in that situation and you have people that are having aught against you and so forth, settle. Settle before you give your offering. Praise the name of the Lord. I don't want anybody to be distracted about that. Let's stay with the message here. Praise God. Let's stay with the message. Now, and Jesus goes on to say in verse 38, ye have heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. That's what they said. That's what Moses said, the law of Moses. He said, look, if somebody plucked out somebody else's eye, you know, whether it's by accident or whatever, you know, he's going to pay for it by his own eye. You can't, you know, you pull somebody's tooth out, you hit them and then you knock out their tooth, you know, then somebody's going to have to knock out your tooth also. That's the way it was in the Old Testament. An eye for an eye. But Jesus came here and brought a more excellent way. And he said, but I say unto you that you should not even resist evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek. Now this is perhaps one of the hardest things in this Bible right here. If somebody will smite you on the right cheek, Jesus said, turn the left cheek to them as well. How many of you are still with me here this morning?
Yes.
You know? Now, in the olden days, they said, look, if they smite you, you smite them back. You smite them even harder. You know? They pull an eye, you pull an eye. They pull a two, you pull a two. But Jesus said, So that was then, but this is now. If they will smite you on the one cheek, you just turn the next cheek. You know, that's all you got? And smite you again. Well, that's a hard saying. But, let's drill down to this message and you see where it's at. And if any man will sue you, see, they sue you at the law. You think there wasn't any lawsuits in the time of Jesus? Oh, yeah. It's lawsuits. So, you know, if they will sue you and they want to take away your coat, you say, well, give them your cloak as well. See, your coat is what you want. Hey, have this as well. You know, now there's a principle that Jesus is bringing out here, and we're going to, you know, stay with me in this message. Don't let your mind drift. You stay with me because this message is very vital. Can you say praise ye the name of the Lord? Say praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, he said, look, even if somebody will ask you to go 1 mile with them, you know, why don't you go 2 miles instead? In other words, you know, they ask you for this, you know, go the extra mile and do, you know, that's where the extra mile came from that people talk about today. Go the extra mile. Now, give unto him that asketh thee, and from him that will borrow from thee, You know, turn thou not away. You know, so these are some basic principles. You know, and Jesus always said, if any man keep my saying, you know, he shall never taste of death. Now, all of these sayings are the sayings of Jesus. And you've got to keep everything. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You cannot pick the one that you will choose, or choose the one that you like, and then leave the others. You know, now, verse 44. This is, you know, we're getting to some real important parts of this message here. Now, love, you know, say, but I say unto you, no, verse 43, ye have heard that he has been said, thou shalt love your neighbor, and thou shalt hate your enemy. See, that's what they used to do in the Old Testament, you know, and that was good for them then, but not anymore. Can you say, praise the name of the Lord? Oh, not anymore. See, now you hear this message this morning. Jesus said, I say unto you a more excellent way. Love your enemies. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
That's not easy to do. Well, but that's the commandment of the Lord. Love your enemies and bless them that curse you. Take notice of that here this morning. Bless them that curse you and do good to them that hate you and pray for them that despitefully use you and those that persecute you. Bless them and curse not. In fact, we are told the same thing in Romans chapter 12, Paul quoting some of these things that Jesus said. We'll get to that in a minute. He said, look, bless the people that hate you. Amen? Oh yeah, that person on your job that's always giving you trouble, bless them. Don't curse them. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Why? He said, that ye may be the children of your Father. If you want to be the children of God, now people are going around saying, I'm the sons of God, I'm all of this and so forth. You know, but in order for you to be the children of your Father, these are the things that you have to do. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
You've got to love your enemies. Let alone, you know, I mean, love your enemies. Let alone your own family and your own spouse. You know, love your enemies. Love them that hate you. To be the children of your Father, he said, which is in heaven, because he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good. You know, when God brings the sun out, sunshine in the morning, he doesn't say, let it shine over here in this person's house that's good, and let it be dark over here in this person's house that's evil. No, he lets the sun shine over everybody. You know, whether you're a good farmer or a bad farmer, he gives them rain the same. He gives them sunshine, the same. And that's what Jesus is saying. He said, look, he makes his sun to shine on the good and evil. And he brings his rain to the just and the unjust. See? So, if you only love them that love you, verse 46, what reward do you have then? Because even the publicans, you know, and so forth like that, you know, those people that are counted as sinners, so they do the same. And if you salute only your brethren, see? Now, amen?
Amen.
If you salute only your brethren, see, the only people you talk to and the only people you greet are your brethren. Well, what thank do you have more than sinners? You know, because even the publicans and sinners, they do the same. Everybody salutes their brethren. See, but you have got to go the extra mile.
Amen.
The more excellent way is for you to do even that which people do not expect, but which God commands. Can somebody say hallelujah? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, Proverbs chapter 25. I'm going to read some of these verses because I want you to see it straight out of the Bible. I don't generally like to read too many scriptures when I preach, but today I'm going to read the scriptures so that you see straight out of the Bible. And I want you to mark these scriptures down. Proverbs 25, and I'm going to read verses 21 and 22. Now, Proverbs 25, verses 21 and 22. This is a concept that is forgotten, you know, by most. If your enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Now, you say, I don't have any enemies yet, but that's people that you don't get along with. It's the same thing. Amen? It's the same thing. You don't get along with somebody, you just can't stand the sight of them. You know, they're always getting on your nerves. You know, that's that kind of person. You know, substitute them in here for enemy. You say, I don't have any, but you do have these kinds of people that are always getting on your nerves. You know, people that you can't stand. You just can't stand them. You know, and so forth like that. You don't like them one bit because of the way they are or whatever. You know, he said, look, if they're hungry, give them food. If they're thirsty, give them water, because you will heap coals of fire upon their head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Amen? The Lord shall reward thee. That's the part that I want you to worry about. Don't worry about heaping coals on anybody's head. We don't even want to do that. You know, but we want the Lord to reward us. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now in Romans chapter 12, Paul, referring to some of these same things that Jesus said, he's going to say this to you again in verses 17 through 21 of Romans chapter 12. And I want you to pay attention to this. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible with you, as much as it lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. And I'm going to go a step further than this thing here this morning that Paul said. I'm going to say, don't just stop as, you know, where it lieth peaceably with you. Reach out. Amen. Reach out. Amen. To the person that doesn't even like you. Reach out to them. Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, because there's a reason for that. Because while we were yet sinners,
yes, yes.
When we didn't even like God, when we didn't even want to retain any part of God in our knowledge, God reached out to us.
Amen.
Praise ye the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's the reason you are sitting in here today. Because Jesus came and reached out to you even while you were yet sinners. He didn't wait for you to be all right with God before he would reach out to you. He reached out to you while you were yet in your sins. And dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Now what is the meaning of avenge not yourself? You know, that's the tit for tat. That's the eye for an eye, the tooth for a tooth. You know, somebody does one bad thing to you, then you're going to, you know, one bad turn deserves another. You know, there's a proverb that says one good turn deserves another. But a lot of people, is one bad turn deserves, you know, somebody did something to me, well, I'm going to do them more evil. You're driving down the road, you know, the guy cuts you off, then you're going to chase him down the road and cut him off again. You know? And so forth like that. You know, you just find out that these things are there. You know, but that's not what the Bible says. If you want to be the children of God, if you want to be like Christ, you got to keep all of his commandments. Amen. And all of his statutes. Amen. And hearken to the voice of the Lord. You cannot shock any of it. You can't say, well, that's not important. All that is important is this and that. No. Every word of God is pure. Can you say amen? A man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, and so forth. So he's, you know, quoting the same verse that we quoted from Proverbs. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, there's a few other things that I want to talk about this morning. And I'm going to bring out these commandments of the Lord. Next point up here is forgiveness. Now, the very gospel of Christ, through which we are all beneficiaries of God's grace and his salvation, is based upon forgiveness. Because if God didn't forgive our sins, all of us will be perished. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
So let's see what God has to say about forgiveness. Now, remember, I said to you at the beginning of this message, don't say, you know, that's a wonderful message. You know, do what it says. Amen?
Amen?
Do what it says. Now, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21. Now, this is a question that many of the disciples wanted to ask Jesus. You know, but they were not bold enough. So Peter, finally, he was bold enough. He said, look, how long, how many times do I need to forgive my brother? You know, because, you know, seven times? I mean, he's always pissing me off. You know, and he's always doing these things, you know, that aggravate me. How long shall I forgive him? Is it seven times? Now Jesus, he always uses the words of a person, you know, what you say to him, and he'll use that word, you know, and if you don't say it right, yeah, he'll turn it around, you know, and tell you the way it should be. So this guy says seven times, is that all I should forgive? And Jesus said, no, not seven times, but I say unto you, 70 times seven. That's 490 times. Now, I don't know of any of you, you know, I don't think anybody, you know, has done something, one person has done the same thing to me 490 times. Yeah, that's a lot of times. Praise God. That's a lot of times. 70 times seven times. But the point that Jesus is trying to bring is forgive them all the time. Yeah. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, don't even worry about, you know, keep count and say, now that's 489. That's right. You know, that's not 409. That's it. You know, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, look, you're thinking seven? Well, I'm telling you 70 times seven. You know, I guarantee you if Peter had said 10 times, maybe he would have said, I say unto you, not 10 times, but 100 times 10. He might have said that. You know, but he just picked the word that he said, and he multiplied it out in dimensions just to show him, you know, how, you know, just keep doing it. Now, so he went ahead and told a story, which I'm sure many people have heard here. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And he began to take reckon, and they brought unto him somebody that owed him 10,000 talents. And in the margin of my Bible here, it calls that, you know, $52 million. That's what it says in my reference Bible here. That's how much it's worth that this guy owed. My goodness. And then, because he couldn't pay, well, some of you may not be able to imagine what $52 million is, you know. But let's just say $100,000, okay? You know, that's simple enough, you know. You know, he owed that much. And he couldn't pay. So the Lord, you know, this master commanded him to be sold, his wife and everything. And so that, you know, they would just make payments from the proceeds of their sale. You know, sell them into slavery, he said. So the servant came down, you know, and worshipped and begged and said, Lord, have mercy upon me, and I will pay all. Just give me time. And the Lord of that servant, in verse 27, was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him. And we're not even told that the servant turned around and said, thank you. We're not told that. You know, but he just went out, you know. And now here is somebody that owed this much money. So he went out and found one of his fellow servants. They both of them worked for the same guy. So he found one of his colleagues that owed him 100 pence. Maybe the guy, you know, in comparison to the $100,000 or 52, you know, million, the guy owed him like a dime. You know, that's the comparison. The guy owed him a dime. Or let's just say $1. So the guy owed him $1. You know, for you little kids, I'm breaking it down so you can understand. You know, the guy owed him $1. And he owed $100,000 to somebody else. And they forgave him. So he got a hold. Look, listen to what he did. You know, and he said, look, you know, pay me that which you owe, and so forth. He took him by the throat. By the throat. You know, sometimes I say, the Lord does have a sense of humor. But he took him by the throat. And he said to him, you know, pay me that thou owest. And that fellow servant fell down at his feet, just like he did to their master. And he besought him, saying, have patience on me, and I will pay her. But he wouldn't listen. He didn't care. You know, I'm not going to have any part of it. You know, I've told you to pay me this money. You owe it to me. You know, it's not. He probably even gave the excuse that, look, I've got to pay my own dues too. You know, I'm owing this person. I need to pay. So you pay. See? So he got a hold of him, and he couldn't pay. So he went and charged him, you know, and, got the law and so forth against him, and he cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Well, you know, if he couldn't pay when he was a free man, how is he going to pay when he's in prison? And somebody tell me how he's going to pay when he's in prison. When he was a free man, he couldn't pay. He's never going to pay. You know, so basically this guy didn't forgive him. He cast him into prison. You know, so when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. So they went and told their master. You know, and then the master called him and said, O thou wicked servant, in verse 32, I forgave you all that debt. Because you desirous of me. And shouldn't you have also had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth with him. And delivered. Now, notice this verse, for those of you who harbor unforgiveness in your life. Notice this verse that Jesus said. He said, and they said, the Lord said, you know, deliver him to the tormentors. See, tormentors, until he should pay all. My goodness. You know, you say, well, why are all these things happening to me and so forth like that? Well, maybe you have unforgiveness in your life. So you got to check it out this morning. Are you still with me? Praise God. Because you don't want the Lord, you don't want to be in danger of the council. That's the tormentors. You don't want the Lord to deliver you to the tormentors and so forth like that. You know, so he said, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto, now these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother, his spouse, his siblings, his children, his parents, their trespasses. Amen? Amen this morning?
Amen.
If you do not forgive, this is how dangerous it is. Jesus said, my heavenly Father shall not forgive you. Wow. My. Now that's really deep. Now let's go to this subject here of love. And I'm going to start at John 13. Now these are precepts, these are statutes that the Lord wants us to follow. And this is a new commandment. This is the way that he wants it. This is a more excellent way. John 13, 34 and 35. And you say a new commandment? Well, it's not exactly a new commandment, but, you know, to some people it might be new because they are not following it exactly. Let's start at John 13 and verse 34. John 13 and verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Now, in the household of God, you better love one another. You know, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Can you say amen to that? That's one thing that's missing in the body of Christ now. See, I don't see the law, you know, but I see their knowledge. And I see all of these things that pops up. Because the Bible says knowledge pops up, but love edifies. Can you say amen? You know, I see people with a brandishing, you know, their knowledge all over the place and so forth, but they won't reach out to somebody else. You know. So, you know, let's find out what the Lord says about all of that this morning. That's why I say this message is so vital this morning that we ought to, everybody ought to hear it. Now turn with me to 1 John. Now this is the epistle of 1 John chapter 3. And I'm going to read, starting at verse 11. I'm going to read verse 11. To 18. And like I said, you know, I wanted to take time to read the scriptures, you know, because normally I would just take a couple of scriptures and then just preach. But today I am teaching and I'm bringing these scriptures and I want to read all of it, most of it, so that you take good knowledge of these scriptures one by one and then you go with it and see what the Lord is saying to us. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. 1 John chapter 3. And I'm going to start at verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning. The same that Jesus said, you know, John, he's the one that wrote the Gospel of John, the one we just read, and he's writing again here, you know, because he was there when Jesus said it. You know, this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, who slew his brother. And wherefore did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brothers were righteous, so he was envious against him and he slew his brother. Now, marvel not if the world hates you, my brethren. He said, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Do you love the brethren? No, they're not just love in word, but love in deed. Do you really love the brethren? I don't need anybody to answer me. You just examine yourself. Do you love the brethren? See, he that loveth not his brother. Now, the brother there is anybody. You know, sister, whatever. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Wow. Now, listen to this. Whosoever hateth his brother, now John is taking it even a step further. And Jesus said, look, if you hate your brother without a cause, you'll be in danger. Now John is taking it even a step further now and said, look, whosoever, now this is the Spirit of God, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. How many of you know that's true?
Yeah.
2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for correction. That's what we're doing in here this morning. Now, he said, you know, he that hated his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Now, isn't that putting it right out there? You know, if you hate your brother or your sister or somebody, you know, you don't have eternal life inside of you. I don't care what you brandish on your head. Praise God. Praise God. You know, one time they said to Jesus, he said, you know, and they even said the same thing to John the Baptist and to Jesus and everybody. They said, look, we are the children of Abraham and so forth like that. He said, children of Abraham. Say, God can of these stones raise up children to Abraham. Praise ye the name of the Lord. He said, you're not even worthy to be called children of Abraham because you are not doing what God said. He said, you have your father, that devil, because his works you are doing. But if you want to be the children of God, then you do the works that Jesus said. Can you say amen? You do, you know, you love the people. You love your brother. You love your sister. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. So we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. Can you lay down your life for somebody else? But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth that his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of mercy or compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And maybe you say, well, you know, God bless you and so forth. No, you give them what they need. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. That's right. That's what God wants us to do. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but let us love in deed and in truth. Can somebody say amen?
Amen?
Praise God. You know, we need a new commandment. But it's not a new commandment. It's just that people have forgotten these basic things. Praise ye the name of the Lord. But these are the things that we need to know by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, listen to this. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. 1 John 4 and verse 7. He said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Now if you don't love people, you don't love your brethren and so forth, you don't know God. That's what the scripture is saying. You know. In this was the love of God manifested toward us. You know, that he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Now that's herein is love. Praise God. Not that we love God, but he loved us first, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, no man has seen God at any time. So, but if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Can you say praise the name of the Lord? Hallelujah. You know, if a man say, I'm going to read verse 20. If a man say that I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. Amen? Am I reading it from the scriptures? If a man say, this is verse 20 of 1 John 4, that I love God, but he hate his brother or his wife or his husband, or she hate her husband or whatever, same thing, you know, he's a liar. Because how can you not love your brother who you see every day, and then you say you love God whom you've never seen? Because this, your brother, was created in the image of God. Can you say praise the Lord? But let me say it to you in human everyday terms, so that you will understand. You know, if you really love somebody, you know, and you see their child that looks exactly like that, you love them already because they are the children of somebody that you love. Amen? That's the way it works. You just naturally love that child because, oh yeah, that's the son or daughter of such and such, and you know, and they are your friend or they look like their parents, and sure, you just love them, you know. Now, people are created in the image of God. Amen? And if you don't love somebody that's created in the image of God, how can you say that you love God? Amen?
Amen?
So you think about that for a few minutes. And while you're thinking of that, you know, I'm going to give you the reference, but I'm not going to read it because it's a long chapter. Of course, most people have heard of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Where the whole chapter is devoted to love. But I'm not going to read it. You mark it down and read it. Because there's some other things I want to read here. But in that chapter, he talks about, look, if I don't have love, and I can speak in tongues and jump up and down and do all of these things, that I am nothing. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh yeah. You can preach wonderfully. You can sing wonderfully. You can do all of these things. But you don't have love. He said, I am nothing. Because love is kind. And love is patient. See? And love does not think evil. Walketh no evil to his neighbor. You know? Love doesn't think evil. And if you're thinking of doing evil to somebody because they did something to you last week and you're going to get them, oh yeah, I'm going to get even. You know? There's a saying that they say, don't get mad, just get even. Well, that's not from the Lord. That's from the pit of hell. Jesus said, love your enemies. How many of you can say praise the Lord? That's right. You know, he says, love does not rejoice in iniquity. And love does not think evil. I'm just quoting some parts of 1 Corinthians 13. You know. And if I do all of these things, but I have not love, the Bible said, he said, it profits me nothing. I am nothing. I'm just a tinkling cymbal. If I know how to jump up and down, speak in tongues, but you don't know how to love your brother, you don't know how to love your sister, you don't know how to love your children, you don't know how to love your wife or love your spouse or your husband or whatever, you know, then it's nothing. It doesn't mean anything to God. You know, and people don't pay attention to these scriptures. Yet these things are the foundation, you know, of Christianity. These are the principles, these are the statutes of God, which he said, if you hearken to my commandment, and if you obey the voice of the Lord, and if you do that which is right in his sight, and if you do all his statutes, that's how he is going to make sure that no sickness and no evil comes your way. But you've got to do all of his statutes. Amen?
Amen,
amen somebody?
Amen.
Well, you know, we preach on joy and excitement and faith and all the time, you know. And usually I can get a lot of hand clap and so forth when I'm preaching those exciting messages. But it's quiet in here this morning. But this is the word of the Lord. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
It is the word of the Lord. Now, let me talk about humility. Humility. And I'm going to read some verses here that you might not expect on this subject. But turn with me to John chapter 13. And I'm going to read a few verses here. John chapter 13 and verse 12. Now, in this story, Jesus actually took a basin of water and decided to wash the disciples' feet when it came to dinner. You know, and he did that. You know, they had this custom that, you know, they used to wash feet and so forth like that. So one of these days, Jesus took a towel and wrapped it around his waist. And he said, hold on. Before you do that, I'm going to do it for you. So he washed everybody's feet. Of course, when he came to Peter, Peter said, oh, no. You never wash my feet. You know, because you are the master. And here's what Jesus said to him. He said, look, if I don't wash your feet, then you are no part of me. As soon as Peter heard that, he said, my goodness, don't wash only my feet. Wash my head. Wash my back. Wash everything. I want to be a part of you. Amen. Praise God. Now, Jesus said, don't worry about it. You know, whether it's your feet or whatever that I wash, as long as I wash you, you are clean. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, so after he had washed their feet, verse 12, you know, and had taken up his garments again, and he sat down and said, now, do you know what I have done to you now? Do you know? Do you understand? You know, say, look, you call me master and Lord. And you say, well, for so I am. Can somebody say he's master and Lord? Is he your master and is he your Lord? But some people don't even believe that the Lord is their master anymore. They want to put themselves on their, equal with the Lord. Well, Satan tried that one time. But he found out, that there's only one God. Can you say amen? Oh yeah, there is only one God. There's not enough room in this universe or anywhere else for two of them. And he's a jealous God. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And you remember that. He said, look, you call me master and Lord, and you say, well, and so I am. Because I am. But if I then, being your Lord and master, if I have washed your feet, so ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example. See, he did not because he had to do it, but he showed an example, that ye should do as I have done. Now, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Now, happy are ye if you know these things and then you do them. If you know these things and you do them, blessed are ye. But if you know these things and you don't do them, well, the servant that knoweth his master's will that didn't do them is going to get a lot of stripes. Now, you all are knowing these things. Even if you didn't know it before, you are knowing these things today. Amen? Amen, somebody?
Amen.
Praise God. Now, let's read more about that humility. Now, this humility is talking about, look, you want to be the leader, you be the servant. Praise God. Praise God. You be the servant. Take for instance, the so-called leaders in this church. They ought to be the servants. We ought to be the servants. And we have set a good example. Let me put it to you like that. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know some of the leaders in this place, myself included, I'll pick up the trash, every Sunday and so forth like that. I'll clean up this place and so forth. I'll clean, the bathroom and so forth like that. But some people will not even do it in this place. I don't know what it is, and so on. But if you want to be a leader, you be the servant. That's what Jesus said. Can you say praise the name of the Lord to that? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now let's read in Matthew chapter 20. I'm trying to get through this very quickly, but it is very important. I want to read the scriptures. Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. Now this story here, you may have read this before, but this is the story of James and John, the children of Zebedee. And their mother came to Jesus and said, look, after they worship him and so forth, they said, look, I want my son to, this one sit on your right hand, this one sit on your left hand in your kingdom and so forth. So Jesus began to tell them, look, no, don't even go there. Because can you drink of the cup that I drink? Can you be baptized, with the baptism that I'm baptized? And they say, yeah, we are able to do that. And Jesus said, well, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink, and you'll be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with, but to sit on my right hand or my left hand and so forth. I mean, can you imagine? They wanted the highest place. They wanted to sit on the right hand. They wanted to sit on the left hand, and so forth like that. That's what they wanted. Be on the left, be on the right, where the this, where the that, where the elite, where the cream of the crop, we are the best of the best, and so forth. So, and Jesus said, well, but of course, he didn't grant that request. He said, no, it's already prepared. That's not for you to ask, But when the other disciples heard it, they were angry. And here's what Jesus told them in verse 25. Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority over them. He said, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. Minister means servant. Some people have taken the word minister to mean somebody that lords over them. You hear that this person is a minister. This person is a preacher, minister. This minister here means servant. Can you say amen? The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to serve. That's what he came to do. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. See, let him be your servant. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now this is humility. This is humility that Jesus is teaching. The disciples, they got compass. They wanted to be on the left hand, the right hand. Some of them did, and so forth like that. And Jesus said, look, you need to humble yourself. Amen? Can somebody say amen to that? Now, let me read this last part. And this is the one we're going to close with. Unity. Unity. This is the part. Now remember, the message is, what is the message? A more excellent way. So we are showing the way that didn't work, but we're showing the way that works. Now, let me read this subject of unity. First of all, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35, verse 25, he said that every kingdom that is divided against itself shall be brought to desolation. Is anybody still with me here at this point? Every kingdom, whether it's the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God or whatever, you know, every kingdom that is divided against itself shall be brought to desolation. Now, of course, the kingdom of God will never be divided against itself. Because the people that are trying to divide the kingdom of God, they were never part of it to begin with.
Amen?
The wolves in sheep's clothing. But they don't belong there, and the Lord is going to find them out. You know, but so he said, you know, every kingdom that is divided against itself shall be brought to desolation, and every city or every house that is divided against itself shall not stand. Now, for you, those of you who are husbands and wives here this morning, or families, if you're divided against yourself, your house shall not stand. So that's a very grave warning here this morning. But let's take that to the level that we are speaking this morning. The house of God. If we are divided against ourselves, then we shall not stand. And the devil is the one that will profit. Can you say amen? Oh, and the devil is the one that has been profiting. You know, he's been profiting. And even Satan himself is so smart that he will not cast out himself. Jesus said it here, next verse. If Satan cast out Satan, then he is divided against himself. You know, so how shall his kingdom stand? So he's not going to do it, because they accused Jesus that he was casting out devils by, you know, Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. That's why he told them all this story. But there's a viewpoint that we are bringing out there. A house divided against itself shall not stand. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 9. If I can get through this very quickly. Mark chapter 9 and verse 33. You know, and this is interesting subject here, and I'll tell you something in a minute. You know, so let me read. Let me tell you something first before I say this. You know, so the when a house is divided against itself, you know, like that. What can we achieve? See, and Satan knows this divide and conquer technique. You know, get everybody to be divided against themselves so that they will not have any strength. Because it weakens the foundation. It weakens the foundation. Now, okay. Now, let me read this to you. Verse 38 of John chapter 9 is where I want to read from, not 33. Verse 38. I'm going to skip the other part. And John answered unto him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in your name, but he followed not with us, meaning he doesn't go to our church, or he doesn't go to our fellowship. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Oh yeah, he doesn't go to our church, and he's not with us. So we forbade it, because he followed not with us. And you know, how can he be casting out devils? How can he be doing all these things when he's not part of our group? Now, we are the disciples of Jesus Christ. But Jesus answered unto him in verse 39 of Mark chapter 9. Forbid him not. Can everybody say, forbid him not? That's right. For there is not a man, Jesus said. I don't care what you think, but here's what Jesus said. You know, the Bible says, there is no man which will do a miracle in my name, which will lightly speak of me. See? Speak evil of me. Because they're doing miracles. And I said, just leave them alone. Let Jesus take care of that. We know it's not everybody that does a miracle in the name of the Lord that shall enter into the kingdom of God. But that's his business. You know, he knows who's who. The Lord knows them that are his. Amen? You see, But he said, he that is not against us is on our part. If he's not against us, then he's with us. But you said, you know, they don't belong to our group. And I heard this terminology, you know, last week. Somebody said, spiritual gang wars. And I said, wow, that's exactly what it is. You know, or you belong to this church over here, you belong to this fellowship over here, and this person doesn't go to your fellowship or it doesn't go to your church. You know, most of the young people, the younger generation, they don't have any problem with this. It's the older generation that have this problem. Amen. Amen, young generation. That's true. So let's speak it the way it is. It is the older generation that have this problem, you know, because they don't go to your church or they don't go to your fellowship, you know, therefore you think they are none of Christ. Oh my goodness. You know, Jesus is the one that hung upon the cross. Jesus is the one that shed his blood. And I'm going to read to you now what Jesus himself said, you know, concerning all of this. But before I read that, I'll give you this verse real quick. I know the time is fast spent. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 to 7, if you want to mark it down, read it. Paul rebukes the Corinthians for being carnal. He says to them, as long as you say, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, you know, I belong to this group, I belong to that group, he said, ye are yet carnal. Ye belong to Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know, Paul may sow the seed, Apollos may water, but it is God that gives the increase. Now that's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 to 7. I'm going to skip that because I want to read this part here that Jesus said, you know, Jesus' goal, and this is Jesus' vision for his church. And I want to read that this morning. And if you understand anything about the Lord, you need to be in the vision. You need to get in the program with Jesus. Praise God. John chapter 10, this is what Jesus said in verses 14 and through 16. Now, of course, you can read the whole chapter of John, and Jesus introduces himself as the good shepherd. And in one point, he even said, look, all these people that came before me, they are thieves and robbers, and they climb in through the other door, there's a thief, you know, and so forth like that. But I come in through the door to the sheepfold, you know, and I'm the good shepherd. So he tells them. Now, John chapter 10 and verse 14. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said, and I know my sheep. Now, so don't you ever try to be in the place of the shepherd. Some people are always going about trying to figure out, you know, yeah, you know, this person is this and so forth. But that's not your business. Jesus is the good shepherd. Can you say amen? And I am known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, that's Jesus that laid down his life. And listen to this. This is the verse of interest right here. And other sheep I have. Not just those of you that are gathered right here. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Jesus told them. He said, but them also I must bring.
Amen.
That's a must. All the other sheep that I have, I must bring them. That there will be one fold and one shepherd.
Amen.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
Now all these splinter groups and all these kind of things in there all over the place, these are all man-made. You know, they serve a purpose, but if it becomes a hindrance, then the devil gets the advantage. You know, Jesus said, that I have other sheep that are not of this fold right here. Those of you who are gathered right here. But then also I must bring. And there shall be one fold when it's all said and done.
Amen.
And there shall be one shepherd. Can you give the Lord the praise for the hallelujah?
Yeah.
And if you put GMI Church on your forehead, you're likely not to make it in. Because there's only one name that will be written on their foreheads. Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus said, I will write upon him my new name.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, he's not going to write any other name. Oh my. It is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
I will write upon them the name of my Father. Oh, and they saw in Revelation 14, he saw that group that walks with him everywhere. They had on their forehead the Lamb's name. and the Father's name. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh my. Praise God. All these schisms and so forth. This is the thing that has abstracted the revival that God promised. Because the house is divided against itself. And that is why there is reproach in the land. And the devil taking advantage of it. Oh, he's smart. Oh, yeah. Turn with me to John 17 as we begin to close. John 17. This was the prayer that Jesus prayed. And he poured out his heart, boy, in this prayer. You know, he poured it out. And I read this chapter over and over again, you know, last night. You know, and my goodness. I'm going to read a few of these verses to you, starting at verse 6. You can read and should read the whole chapter of John 17. But let me read from verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine the word. See? Not, they didn't belong to anybody. They belong to God. And the Father gave them to Jesus. Can you say amen? And thou that gavest them to me, and, you know, I've manifested your name to them, and they have kept your word. And he said, now they have known that all things whatsoever you have given me are of thine, and I have, you know, given the words that you gave me to them, and they have received them, and they have surely known that I came from thee, and that have sent me. Now I pray for them, not exactly for the world, but for, you know, the elect of God, that thou, those of them that you have given me, that what? For they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now notice in verse 11. And now, this was the time when he was about to leave the world. And he's praying. This is like, look, you know, I've kept them while I was here, but I'm about to leave now. Lord, Father, this is what I want you to do. While I was there, I kept them by your word. You know, I kept them. But now I'm about to leave. And here's what I want you to do, Father, for them. And he poured out his eyes and said, Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom you have given to me, that they may be one, even as we are one. How many of you can say amen to that?
Amen.
He poured out his eyes in this prayer. Keep, Lord, through thy own name, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. And those that you have given me, I have lost none of them, except the son of perdition, so that the scripture may be fulfilled. And Jesus said, all my sheep, I will lose none of them. In John chapter 10, I skipped those verses, but he said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. How many of you can say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Now let me jump to chapter verse 15 here. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. So Jesus didn't say, you know, the Lord should take them out of the world. No, he wants you to be here, to be a witness for him. But he prayed the Father that the Father will keep you from evil. Now, he said, they are not of this world, even as I am not of the world. So you people, don't begin to think at any time that you are part of this world. Otherwise, you are out of the program. You know, you're not getting with the program. Jesus sees you as not of this world. Amen.
Amen,
amen, somebody.
Amen.
Now, Father, sanctify them through thy truth, for thy word is truth. Now, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for thy sakes, for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified in the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, not just for the 12 or for the people that were on the day of Pentecost or whatever, you know, but I pray for all those down through the ages. That's you sitting right here. Jesus prayed for you already. All those down through the ages who shall later on believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. Can somebody say one in Jesus? Oh yes, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And listen to verse 22.
the glory, oh my, which thou hast, you know, which thou gavest me, I have given unto them. My goodness. And what is the purpose of that glory? That they may be one. Now some people want to walk in that glory and so forth, but they wouldn't have any part of the unity of the faith. Well, that's not going to work. And that's thus saith the Lord. It's not going to work. The glory that God gives is that they may be one. Hallelujah. Even as we are one, he said, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And he couldn't stress that enough. And he kept praying the Father that day, because he saw all the dissension. He saw all the bad, you know, these schisms and so forth like that. And he kept praying. He agonized in prayer. One time he said, the blood coming out of his brows. And he said that they may be one, even as we are one. Father, I will also, verse 24, that those whom you have given unto me, oh yes. And he prayed this prayer for you, those of you that are sitting in here or hearing this on tape or anywhere else on, you know, we put the messages on the internet or wherever, you know. He prayed this prayer for you, you know, that the Father, he said, I will that they also whom you have given unto me should be where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, even before the world began. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. And all of this glory he wants to give to us so that we may be one. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's stand to our feet in here this morning as we ponder these things. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. If you believe that I spoke the word of the Lord this morning, then give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's the reason I said, you know, this message may be perhaps one of the most important that I have preached from this pulpit. Praise God. Because the unity of the faith is something that is lacking among the body of Christ. The love is lacking. The humility is lacking. And the Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And if you know in your heart that you have unforgiveness, the Bible says you should forgive. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's lift up our hands this morning and pray that God will reveal the truth of this word. And let it burn in your heart. And you go back every day and you do the things that this message said. Praise God. Because this message will now stand against you now. But I pray that this message will not stand against you, but it will stand for you.
Amen.
Amen. That it will be a witness that you heard and you did as God spoke, so that you can get the reward of righteousness. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, Lord, bless every heart that has received the word of God in here this morning. And Lord, let this word that we have heard today, let it not just be one that we enter in one ear and go out the other ear, but let this word form character in our lives, the character of Jesus, that we may become just like him, loving like he did, humbling ourselves like he did, and walking in unity of the faith like he wanted. Blessed be thy holy name. And forgiving one another, even as Christ Jesus has forgiven us. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you understand that message, say hallelujah. If you understand it, say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, we are going to go quickly into the breaking of the bread to close this consecration weekend. Amen.